good to have you here this morning. We'd get a Bible and be ready to study along with us this morning. And we're going to continue in our series of studies we've been doing this year on things that I can do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And hopefully we have seen in all these lessons that there are certainly a lot of things we can be doing and should be doing. We're going to continue with that this morning, talking about something that should be a part of every disciple's life, and that is prayer. Prayer, or some form of the word or another, is found over 600 times in the Bible. And if I picked up a book and read through it and I found something that was mentioned 600 times, I think I would get the message that that's something of importance. And it is with prayer. God wants us to be familiar with the avenue of prayer so we may keep in contact with Him. We just had a study on Wednesday night a week ago about the importance of prayer as we strive to mature in our faith. And we do that because it is a necessary part of our spiritual lives. It's one of those things we tend to overlook or take for granted. We've been given a means by which we can communicate with our Creator. Think about that just for a minute. We have a means of communicating with the Creator of this universe. But how many of us use it in the way that is most spiritually beneficial to us? Do we even see it as something spiritually beneficial to us? How many of us really see it as talking with God? How many of us look and listen for the answer to those prayers? How many of us really believe that if we ask in faith, He will answer? How many of us speak to Him as often as we do our own family members? Is He not our Father, spiritually speaking? I ask all these questions because prayer is often neglected or simply not practiced as often as we should. And of course, the reasons are going to be varied, but we need to consider some of those things that hinder our prayer lives and then do what we can to eliminate those hindrances. So today I want us to consider the need for me to, as a disciple, pray. This is something that I can do. And we're going to consider this morning why I need to be one who prays and prays often. And then consider some of these things that may hinder me from praying as I should. And then look at the things that will help me to correct that and pray as often as I should and can. But I also need to think, as we've been doing in these lessons, think about what the consequences will be if I do not pray. And then see what I can do to improve my communication with my Heavenly Father. So first of all, the question is, why do I need to do this? Why do I need to be concerned with prayer? And like many of these we've been looking at, the simple answer is this: because God has commanded it. That's something all disciples have been commanded to do, and again, in various situations and times. In Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 1, we find that Jesus spoke a parable to His disciples that men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. Now that word "always" there pretty much means what we think it means. It means that we should be praying at all times. And the fact is, God wants His people to be people of prayer. Living a life where prayer is a regular part of our lives and something practiced as more than a once a week thing or even just three times a day when we sit down with food in front of us. When we consider, as we find in Luke, the 5th chapter, in verse 16, the New King James translation says that Jesus often withdrew Himself to pray. This was the life of Jesus. He was known for His prayerfulness. And I believe we would do well to follow in His example. We also find in Scripture the Apostle Paul urging the brethren at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, these words by themselves are enough to tell us that prayer is something that should be a regular part of our lives. We are to, in everything, pray. And again, that means pretty much what we think it means, in everything. But we also need to pray continually. Paul's admonition to those in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, was to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, there's two words that get my attention there. First, the word translated as continue earnestly means that we should pray with steadfast devotion to its practice. And second, the word translated as being vigilant means that we should always be on the watch for opportunities and occasions where we might offer up our prayers. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But again, like most all these other things we've been looking at this year about what we can do, it's more than just a command. Fact is, we need to pray. This is something that I need to do because there is a need for it. We were instructed in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, as Paul gives the instruction to Timothy to pass on to the disciples. He says, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." And I think we're seeing the need for that every day, even more and more, as our society is turning further and further away from God, that we need to be praying for our leaders, whoever they may be, that we might be able to live, as Paul said here, a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. And I know that we think that we've got it difficult today with our government and our society as we strive to live godly lives, but I'm confident in saying that we've not faced anywhere near the hardships that the early disciples did, and yet they were able to live such lives. But there's a reason that Paul urged the brethren to do this in that society. There was a need. But regardless of the time or place, it is fitting for disciples to be praying for their leaders. And whatever kind of leader they may be, and regardless of the type of government or what political party is in power. Because all disciples should seek to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Regardless of the type of government, regardless of the political party in power. As long as there are leaders, there is a need for prayers. And I think we would all agree, some more than others. But they need our prayers. We have also a need for those who are sick and hurting. And I know we've sure been seeing a lot of that in the last year or so, with members of this congregation, our extended families, and just society in general with the pandemic going on. But James reminds us in James the 5th chapter, beginning verse 13. When he asks, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Do you see how many times James mentioned prayer in that short passage? You get the picture that prayer should be an important part of our lives? I hope we do. And it's when we know of others who are sick that we should do our part in desiring their recovery, praying that they may be healed in some way. One day it's going to be us who's going to need those prayers, and won't we be coveting those prayers at that time? But let's not forget those who are also hurting from the loss of loved ones in the house of mourning, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. Now there he tells us we need to take heart, the lesson from being in the house of mourning, that we're all going to be there one day, but we also need to learn to care for others who are suffering the loss of loved ones. But we also need to pray for those who are in sin, and we need to pray for our own sins. Now, Jesus once said to his disciples in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 37 and 38, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." So what's the answer? "Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." There's another situation where we need prayers. Is there any greater need than that of saving souls? Would we agree that there is a need for prayer in this? Jesus did. And let's not forget our own personal need in this matter also. We're told in 1 John 1, verse 9, it's through prayer that we're able to receive forgiveness of our sins as children of God. As John writes to Christians in 1 John chapter 1, He tells them, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What if we don't? No forgiveness. So there is a need. So if we know this, what hinders me from doing this as I should? What keeps me from praying as I should? Well, the one that I hear most often, I just don't have the time for it. But the reality is this really isn't an excuse. Because the reality is I don't have any less time than anybody else. When it comes down to it, when we cite a lack of time as our greatest hindrance, we really don't have an excuse. You know, I look at my day, you can tell me if yours is any different, but there's 24 hours in my day. There's 168 hours each week. And you know what? I bet you yours is the same. And so I have to acknowledge, if I'm saying to myself, I just don't have enough time to pray, I look over at my brother in Christ who seems to be a very prayerful person, I realize he's got the same amount of time I do, so the problem isn't time, is it? The problem is priority. What's my priority? And so when I say I don't have enough time to pray as I should, it most likely means I haven't put enough importance on prayer as I should. Or I'm just more in a hurry to do other things, something other than prayer. You know, I get up in the morning, I got to get ready for work. At work, while I'm working, don't have time for that, right? Got to grab a bite to eat at lunch, don't have time for it then. When I get home, I got more work to do. Got to help the kids do their homework, take them to soccer practice or some other after-school activity. It's a wonder I have time to do anything. And again, it's just a matter of priority, isn't it? But it's more than that. It may be that I've just too much schedule to do, and if I'm running short on time, I cut out the things that I think are not as important, and why is it prayer is one of those things? Or it could be that I just don't believe that prayer is effective. Maybe I don't believe that God actually hears me when I'm praying. Maybe it's because I have this concept of God up in heaven not caring about anything here on earth. Maybe it's because I don't think that God would listen to me personally. Maybe because I've got sin in my life. Maybe I just don't think that God listens to prayers at all today, at least for those who live under the New Testament. Maybe I've come to believe the arguments of the unbelievers who point to all the abundant evil in the world and the widespread greed and injustice that we see around us. And I think, well, God must not be listening if he's allowing all this thing to go on. Or maybe I just don't believe that God answers. You know, maybe I don't pray as often as I should. Maybe I don't pray at all because I don't think that God answers prayers. Could be that I think, as some brethren do in the Lord's church, that prayer is merely a spiritual exercise to keep our minds on God, but he doesn't really answer prayer. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Some of them argue, and maybe I believe those arguments, that if God answered prayers, they would have to be in some miraculous way, and well, we know he didn't do that. Maybe I'm just one who refuses to believe that God answers prayer because I've had so many prayers not answered, or at least not the way I think they should, that I begin to doubt, and then further, quote-unquote, unanswered prayers only convince me that God doesn't answer prayer, so why pray at all? Maybe that's why I don't pray as often as I should. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just plain old pride. Maybe I'm one who thinks too highly of myself and will say maybe just to myself, well, I don't need to pray. Maybe I mistakenly think that I don't need to pray. Maybe I'm like Simon the Pharisee that we read about in Luke the 7th chapter when the sinful woman came into his house while Jesus was there and began washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. All I could think of was, if he knew what kind of woman she was. But see, you see Simon saying anything about his own need? There's no mention of that. Maybe I'm like Simon. I don't have a need for prayer. Maybe I'm thinking like if Jesus knew who this woman was, what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. not even thinking that there's anything wrong with me. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I don't think I need to pray because my life's just going smoothly. I've got no troubles, no health issues, and I'm not being persecuted. So I don't see a need for prayer. I see prayer as only a call for help instead of thankfulness. Or if I think about others, I still don't pray because I don't know their needs, because I haven't spent the time to get to know them as I should. Might even excuse myself for praying for others because I can point back to one prayer that I prayed for in one particular person, so I feel like I've done my duty. Now, I prayed for that person last week on 7:30 on Monday night, so that's it for the week. Or maybe I tell myself, well, I can do this myself. I don't go to God in prayer when I do have troubles because, I'm thinking like the good old American rugged individualism, I can do this myself. And I see prayer only as a last resort. Maybe I think I know all the answers already, and so I don't need prayers for wisdom. Maybe I have the mindset that I got into this mess so I can get myself out of it. When I know we've all been in situations where that was not the case. Obviously, there are some problems with this way of thinking. But pride will keep me from even admitting my flawed thinking. It's going to be somebody else's problem, not mine. Maybe I don't pray just because I don't have a desire to. And you might be thinking, well, what could make me not want to pray? Maybe I just don't like praying, or I just don't want to pray. Maybe, again, I think it's unnecessary because scriptures even tell me God already knows what I need before I ask, so why do I need to do that? Maybe I don't want to pray because it would mean being honest with myself and admitting faults and exposing my true feelings, because I know God would know if I wasn't speaking truthfully when speaking to Him. And it could be 100 other reasons, but even when I say I just don't want to pray, there's usually a reason behind that. And if I do pray, it's usually some ritualistic prayer that's mostly just something I heard from somebody else and I don't really mean it. So there's no heart in it. My heart's not in it. Maybe I just think I'm not good at expressing myself. Maybe I just can't find the right words to pray. I may have doubts about whether or not some of my requests are even valid. May have doubts about how to say something. May have doubts or whether or not I should even pray for certain things or even certain people. And with all these doubts and 100 others, I don't know how to put into words what I'm thinking or considering when I stop to pray, and so sometimes I just don't. Maybe that's what's hindering me. Maybe it's fear that's keeping me from praying. You might say, why would somebody let fear keep them from praying? Well, we might be afraid of what other men might think. If somebody saw me praying, they might think I'm one of those Jesus freaks or something. I may be more concerned with being the target of questions about my faith or even ridicule, so I don't pray as often as I could because I'm afraid someone might see me praying. Maybe I'm afraid of getting too close to God. Sounds like an odd one for a Christian, doesn't it? But could that really be it? Men sometimes do this in relationships, and by men I mean mankind, not just the males. We distance ourselves from people that we are afraid they might find out who we really are. You're starting some new relationship, and as soon as it starts getting close, they start asking questions about you, and then you just back off because you don't want to get too close there. They're going to find out who you really are. God already knows who we are. So really, that's not a good reason. But sometimes we do that even with God. It may be, though, that I'm afraid of getting too close to God, or I'll have to give up something in my life I know I will have to give up if I get too close to God, because I know it's not pleasing to Him. And so with this desire to remain distant from God, that means I'm going to rarely communicate with Him through prayer. Maybe it's because I know I've got sin in my life and I'm not really wanting to give it up. And I know that I can't come to God in prayer and be heard. Maybe that's it. So how can I have the kind of prayer life that I need to have? How can I be a prayerful disciple as I should be? Well, let's start with prioritizing. If I'm going to be the kind of disciple I need to be as in prayer, I need to prioritize. I will have to have the time to pray as I should. This is my communication with God. And that to me is just astounding that I even have that ability to communicate with the creator of the entire universe. This is not just an act to ease my conscience or to give me false comfort. It's real communication with God. It's also not a time where I'm seeking to draw attention to myself, like we see in Matthew the 6th chapter, where those would sound a trumpet before they prayed so others would see them. Well, other men may have heard them, but God didn't and won't. Or like the praying publican that we find in Luke the 18th chapter, who stood up and boasted to God in his prayer about how great he was compared to others. That's not what prayer is all about. Such prayers are not going to be heard by God. I have to think this is my distinct privilege of garnering the attention of the God above all gods, the all-powerful and all-knowing God. I don't deserve this honor of coming into His presence, but He has provided to me the means of communication because, listen, He wants me to communicate with Him. He wants me to communicate with Him. Even though, as we made reference to earlier, Matthew 6 and verse 8, He knows the things that you have need of before you ask. He wants to hear it from us. And I just need to pray everywhere. You know, if the excuse is I don't have time to pray because I'm headed out the door and I've got a long drive to where I'm going, maybe I should start thinking about how I can use that time during that long drive to pray. I don't literally have to be in my closet that Jesus mentioned there in Matthew 6. Jesus taught the parable for the express purpose in Luke 18 that of teaching the disciples that men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. Always ought to pray. Paul urged the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, to pray without ceasing. I can pray while I'm driving. Just don't close your eyes. I can pray while I'm standing in line at a grocery store. How do I know this? Well, look at the example here in Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter. He's standing before the king as the cupbearer to the king. Artaxerxes asked him why he was sad. And then what he requested. And it is said by Nehemiah as he stood in front of the king, just ask why he's sad. So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, right then and there in front of the king, he prayed. So why can't we pray everywhere? How much time do you think it took for Nehemiah to pray? It doesn't take long. Maybe Nehemiah said, God, give me the strength to answer properly. And that was it. But he prayed. I have time to pray if I want to. And second, I need to learn to trust in God. If I don't pray as often as I should, maybe it's because I don't believe in prayer's effectiveness or that He will hear or answer. Here's where I need to strengthen my trust in God. There's nothing in Scripture that would tell me that I shouldn't have trust in God. If anything, all the Scriptures are about trusting Him and learning to trust Him. And so the first thing I need to trust is that He is going to hear. 1 John 5 and verse 14, John reminds us, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We can have that confidence, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 116 verse 1, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. I can trust that He will hear because He has promised it. But I also need to ensure that I'm not walking in sin with no desire to repent, expecting that he's going to give me my heart's desire. The psalmist also wrote in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. In other words, I can't have a special place in my heart, this heart, for sin and expect to go to God in prayer and that he will hear me. I've got to not have a love for sin. But I've also got to trust that he knows best when he does answer. Here's our problem a lot of times. We think we know better than God how it ought to be answered, which in all reality is about the most foolish thing we could ever say. We don't have the knowledge of God. We only know right now. We can remember the past and sometimes not very well. We don't know anything about the future. And so when we pray for things that are going to have consequences, we don't know all those consequences, but God does. And so when he answers, it's probably not going to be the way we think it should be. But it's going to be the best. And it's here that I need to learn to trust that the Lord knows better than me. And if my prayers are not answered to my satisfaction, I should trust still that the Lord knows better and that I should be thankful. I must also remember that God is not like some vending machine where I put my quarters in and get exactly what I want out. I think that's how some look at God. Put your prayer in, get your request out. Exactly what you want. James chastised some of the early disciples in James, the 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3, for not asking God, but also because some would ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, they were asking for the wrong reason. If I'm asking things of God that are merely for my comfort or pleasure, I shouldn't expect that he's going to answer. I need to trust that the Lord knows best. But instead of pride, I also need humility. If I think I just don't need the prayer, this is what I need. Big dose of humility so I can see the true place of prayer that I should have in my life. Because I need prayer. John reminded the early disciples, again, 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. So I can't say, even as a Christian, that I don't have a need for prayer. Verse 9 tells us otherwise. Peter warned Simon, Acts 8, verse 22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And if I'm ever in a position the same as Simon where I have sin in my life, I need prayer. And I'm thankful that God gave me the ability to seek his forgiveness. Because not only do I need prayer, I need God. If I ever feel alone and abandoned by my earthly friends, I can still call on God and know that he will hear, Psalm 142 and verse 4. If I ever feel like the world is against me, I can still call on God and know that he will hear, Psalm 3 verses 1 through 4. If I feel the weight of my sin and realize there is no one who can forgive me except God, I can call on God for forgiveness and know that he will hear and that he will forgive, Psalm 32 verses 1 through 5. Where would I be without God in all those situations? Well, I'm outnumbered and overwhelmed and in my sins. I need God, and so I need humility. I also need to remember that God wants a strong relationship. If I just don't want to pray, I need to remember that God wants me to have a strong relationship with him and him with me. So I need to do my part as he has done his part. And let's be honest here, a greater love for God is going to motivate me to want to pray more. In most all of our earthly relationships, communication is a normal and expected part of that relationship and the part that contributes to the strength of that relationship. And I know if I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind, that's going to be motivation enough to want to speak to him more often. I need to understand I have help in prayer. This is how I can have a strong relationship, and God is the one who can help me in those difficult times. And even in our prayer, we have help. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 26, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If I have trouble putting my thoughts into prayer, know that he knows. His Son also stands as my intercessor, Romans 8, verse 34, and lives to make intercession for me, Hebrews 7, verse 25. And if I'm afraid of what other men might think, I need to have a little bit more courage, and I need to pray despite what others may think. We find in John the 12th chapter, there are some who believed that Jesus is in the Christ, but they wouldn't confess Him lest they be put out of the synagogue. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And if I'm too ashamed to call on the Lord for fear of what other men may think, I need to know that I'm not going to be pleasing to the Lord and He will not confess me before His Father. I need to get closer to God if I'm worried more about men. And if I'm afraid to get closer to Him, there's probably something in my life that I don't want Him to see or know about. Guess what? He already knows. I can't fool God. I can't hide anything from Him. So if there's something hindering me from getting closer to Him, I need to eliminate that and call on Him. Now, the fact is, none of us is deserving of this great blessing we've been given in prayer. Our means of communicating with God. We don't deserve it, but He's made it possible. So will I take advantage of this and seek the wisdom that He will provide, the assurance and the comfort in difficult times, the forgiveness when I fail? I need to know that I can't get any of that anywhere else. And so let's never forget the words of James. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let's believe it. Let's practice it. This lesson is not one that would teach you what to do to become a child of God. But if you've heard the Word of God and you've come to know and believe what God would have you to do to become a Christian, our plea is that you do that today. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned." Maybe you're here today as one who's already done that, but you've not been walking faithfully with the Lord, or you have sin in your life where you do need forgiveness. Let's take care of that also. Maybe you're here today, you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. But whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?